This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Near side, J.J. Paterka with a shot. There's a loose puck. Scores! Good hands by Tage Thompson over on that far side. Zucker just inside the blue line of the Capital Zone. Cross for a one-timer. Scores! Now the goal line, Zucker. Far side, Thompson! Scores! Logan Thompson got a piece of it, but Tage Thompson got more of it. Chickering, new stick and all. Lost the puck and it's stolen, and it's a breakaway attempt here for Buffalo. Quinn with the goal on a clear-cut breakaway. At the line, Samuelson with a shot, scores! Rasmus Dahlin's 500th game. It turned out to be a victorious one. 8-5, the final.
Wait a minute. Didn't Ovi score yesterday? Come on, man.
He did, but it's from
Wayne Gretzky.
Hey, you know what? It's not the tying goal. It's not the passing Gretzky goal. It's just one of the 890 that he scored over his life.
Well, I could understand any one of us being in a fog today. What's it like where you are?
Clear outside. I don't know is why. It? Like, downtown Buffalo is really foggy, and we are pretty clear, and it's warm out here. Probably man, we're sending all here. Of our fog your way, Duffer. But, know what? It was funny today because I was doing some work around the NHL and kind of seeing what happened last night in the games. And one of the tools that is very handy is when you go to NHL.com, there's always a tab that says all of last night's goal, all of yesterday's goals. Mm-hmm. So I click on it. And the Sabres segment, the Washington and Sabres segment of all of the goals is literally 2 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And then there's another game, and then they show Ottawa-Pittsburgh, and it's 15 seconds long. There was right. One goal. It was Crosby overtime power play goal. So the Sabres were 2 minutes long of highlights. Pittsburgh-Ottawa, 15 seconds. Boom, let's go, move on.
They were also 2 minutes the other day when Buffalo waxed Pittsburgh and chased Tristan Jarry, who incredibly posted the shutout last night as the Penguins embraced a youth movement and brought up two of their top prospects to have them in the mix, and they win 1-0 over Ottawa, who Buffalo is going to see next, and that is tomorrow as the road trip wraps up and the Sabres try for the season series sweep of the Sens.
And Buffalo beat Anton Forsberg the last time Ottawa was in Buffalo, and Anton Forsberg was fantastic yesterday for the Ottawa Senators. Got him a point. Like, if it's not for Anton Forsberg, they were not engaged in the game at all. Tristan Jarry was good, but Forsberg stole the show at the other end. And Ottawa, well, that was a point that they probably feel they got lucky to have. Yeah. And then
they're in great shape, though. They need about six more points, in my opinion, and they're good. So
they're in great shape. And then at the end of the video sequence of all of the goals happening yesterday in the NHL was the LA Kings San Jose Sharks game. And let me tell you, it was like watching the Harlem Globetrotters highlight, because you got between the back passes, between the leg passes.
How about the Gavrikov little touch play?
The touch pass to the unbelievable. The Kopitar, like, facing the glass between the legs. It was unreal. And this game, at one point, it's like, okay, it's 4-1, halfway in the game. You're thinking the LA Kings are going to press cruise control. They're going to walk away with a big win against the San Jose Sharks, whatever. And they just kept on, like, being the Harlem Globetrotters. They wanted to win by 100, I feel, and they ended up winning 8-1.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where was this game played?
That was at crypto.com.
Yeah, of course. Like, obviously, who wins at home?
Oh, yeah. They're the best home team.
They didn't win against Toronto. Toronto snuck into that Pittsburgh-Vancouver-Buffalo realm and handed them a regulation loss. But anyway, the Kings came back with a vengeance against yet another, I don't know. I mean, I give credits for San Jose, that big win in the, you know, the up and down nature of that game against Toronto last week. Yeah, like they got that. But there's just, and I get it. They're so young and, you know, they've stripped away a lot of the veterans at the trade deadline and what have you. But it's tough to watch. They just go through these sequences where they're just like, what is going on here?
They were fun to watch against Toronto the other day.
Like that's what I said.
They were up 5-3, and you had to know. I would have bet the farm in that game that the San Jose Sharks were going to let it slip in regulation because we've seen it a million times, and then they won it in OT. But no, so that was that. But yeah, if you look to the Sabres yesterday, Duffer, 8-5. Is there, like, my question all night and all morning was, is there anything we can take away from that game? Yes, scoring 8 goals. Yes, Jack Quinn, Tate Thompson, a couple goals. There was Tucky, the way that he played. But I always do this exercise. If we were on a show called Capitals Live today, like, would we be like, oh, my goodness, how bad are we looking the last little bit here? Lost 3 in a row. Looked like a very undisciplined in everything that they did, penalty-wise, system-wise, whatever. They haven't picked a number one goalie. We assume it's going to be Logan Thompson, but this may open the door for Charlie Lindgren a little bit. I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, like, was it more Washington being that bad or Buffalo being that good? Both things could be true, but it was ugly for Washington yesterday.
Well, I'm not going to go too far down the path if we were hosting Capitals Live, other than the lead would have been Craig Laughlin's return, and we would have maybe run a little bit of B-roll about the game. But,
yes,
you know,
we wouldn't have been spending too much time on it.
Here's the thing. They have lost 3 in a row. They're 0-2-1. And remember the exercise I put you and the audience through about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago when I detailed every single aspect of the Capitals season in 10-game segments?
Yes.
And what was the pattern? Dominant 10, mediocre 10.
Yes.
But never below 500. But dominant 10, mediocre 10. Dominant 10, mediocre 10. So what happened after the last time they lost 3 in a row? All the veterans said, we're fine. And then they rattled off like a 9-1 streak.
Yeah.
And now they're back into the next 10, which is mediocre final 12, presumably to close out the season because everything's clinched and locked up. And it may still stumble for a couple of games and they'll probably turn it on and win 4 of the last 5. And everything will look rosy because it'll be a plus 110 point season.
Yep.
And everybody's going to be saying, wow, how did this team do it? They established one of the biggest goal differential turnarounds in NHL history among teams making the playoffs in each of those years. So I don't know. Like, I'm not worried about them, but I'm also not going to sit here and over-evaluate the wins either, because the win came on the heels of giving up 7 to Philadelphia, which should be the bigger talking point here, that those games can't happen, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, if you're going to be, I mean, they do happen to every team. Even Washington gave up 8, right? And they're a top 5, top 5 defensive team. Yeah, so so that happens. It's going to happen. And then you got games like Ottawa-Pittsburgh yesterday. It's a 1-0 overtime win. And you're looking at those two teams. Have, like, Tristan Jarry was in the minors or whatnot. Like, you're going to get some fluctuation in how the games are. But too much fluctuation is also not good. You have to have consistency in your play. And yes, the Sabres did not have Rasmus Dahlin on Saturday, but the words of Lindy Ruff after the game Saturday was very, very tough to hear. How they disrespected the game. How they, you know, so you go into Philadelphia, you get basically, you know, kicked to the curb after losing 7-4. And, you know, did you turn around? Yes. 8-5, fantastic. But I didn't seem that Tage Thompson's tone after the game wasn't like, woohoo, look at us. Like, look at how we scored 8. No, it was like, okay, well, you know what? We have to learn to play the right way. We have to learn. And we've shown that at times. But there's also the games like Philadelphia that have come and kind of put a wrench into the whole thing, saying, yeah, there's still a lot of learning to do. And even yesterday, I felt like there was still a learning to do from that game. Like, you give up five, you're not going to win too many in the NHL. Now, they pulled through. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. But there's some learning lessons in that way.
Capitals did fall to sixth defensively now in the NHL after that poor showing yesterday against Buffalo. So I think you and I are on very similar paths here as far mm-hmm. as what to talk about, how much to talk about. And my line that, you know, kept bouncing around after the game last night and first thing this morning was, and it's similar to what we, yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of those fill in the blanks that we used to do.
Okay. Bring it back. Bring it back, Duffer.
Late season evaluations are blank.
Okay. So I've been through some seasons where we were in until the last game or the two games before the end of the season, and you play hard and you're giving everything you got. And I've been through some seasons where we were out. We were out early, and I think of my year with the New York Islanders. I think I was like 2-9-2 in my first 13 games, and then I didn't play for the longest time, and I finished the year 7-2-2. And I can't tell you that, oh, I was playing loose. No, I wasn't playing loose. I was scared to death that I wasn't going to get another contract, that, man, my season's going nowhere. Like, every game that I played, I put so much pressure on myself to play a good game, get a win. Like, it was important. So I can't say that it's too easy to say, oh, it's the end of the year, you're not making the playoffs, and everybody's playing loose. I don't think it's that easy. So late season evaluations are not as bad as maybe we think about, because you can still take some really good part of what you're seeing and project it moving forward. Is it 100% of what you should expect? No. It's not going to be, because it's not so much about you, but sometimes it's about the other teams. Like you just mentioned, the Washington Capitals, they're like, okay, they're locked in. You know, maybe it's like, you know what, this game is not going well for us. It's like, okay, we'll move on to the next. So it's not so much about you. Sometimes it's about the other teams and who you're playing. Even playing Philly Saturday, it's like Philly's not going anywhere. And, you know, maybe they decide to just change the way they played. They have a new coach. It's a new energy. So, but there's certain things you can evaluate individually, mm-hmm. and you still practice and you still do meetings and you still are evaluating players in those practices and meetings. Who's getting involved? Who's asking questions? Who's putting what we're saying out on the ice? So there is some players that I think are having good late season evaluations right now. Mm-hmm. There is some that it hasn't really gotten off the ground and it's still not getting off the grounds. And you have to compare. You have to compare the first 30 games, the last 30 games, the middle 20. You have to compare where you are throughout the whole year.
Well, I guess the real question is, how hard are the evaluations for the hockey department? I would say specifically the general manager, but I don't think, to me, it's a hockey department thing, right? Yeah. Like, it's not one person saying, nope, we're punting. Nope, we're giving him a 6-year deal. Like, it's not Kevin doing that solely here, right? Like,
no.
So.
And he's always said, like Duffer, he's always said, when we sign a player, it's the team that signs a player. When we draft a player, it's a team that drafts a player. It's not Kevin Adams at this or whatever. It's a group. That's what is the mentality behind all of it.
So what makes this relevant, I think, is obviously Jack Quinn had a major uptick on the weekend. But Jack Quinn had a very, 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 very hard to believe first half of this season. Mm-hmm. The struggles were so real for him offensively. And considering they've already extended Zucker, extended Greenway,
yep,
brought in Norris, continue to use Jiří as a top line center. Alex Tuch is a veteran. Tage Thompson is a veteran. JJ Paterka, in my opinion, is now a veteran based on his positioning in the lineup, the improvement, the point level that he has shown the last 2 years. Beck Malenstein is presumably not going anywhere. He has 1 year remaining. You're starting to run out of spots is how you change this. And yes, I'm assuming that based on missing the playoffs, they're going to want to change this.
Well, there's a need for change. Like, you
correct,
can't just roll
but
it out.
Where are you making the change, which ties it back to evaluations of players that you may choose to ultimately move off of? Like, I don't see there being a ton of wiggle room up front based on how I just laid it out. And I certainly don't think Zach Benson's going to be a throw in any deal. I think the rosy outlook for Benson is that maybe he should be starting his NHL, in the eyes of some, not me, but maybe he should be starting his NHL career next year. Well, guess what? He's starting as a 20-year-old with over 130 games of NHL experience already. That's exciting for me. Like,
that's
I love
exciting,
that.
But where does he fit? That's
these,
the thing. Like,
these
right now,
are true.
Right now, you're 100% right when you look at the forward group. I mean, I'm thinking I'd like to see Tyson Kozak start the season as a fourth line center. Mm-hmm. I have loved what I've seen, and this is a great evaluation of Tyson Kozak. Mm-hmm. He's not coming in saying, oh, I'm going to play loose at the end of the year. No, he's like, this is my chance to make a stand in the NHL. And Jack Quinn, I like what I'm seeing of Jack Quinn, and that's, you can evaluate Jack Quinn now, because I do feel that last season for Jack Quinn was a wash. The injuries, the Achilles, everything. And this year, at the start of the year, it was not good. There was a lot of wrong happening with Jack Quinn. But he has found a way to turn that around. And people are going to say, okay, but it's garbage time. I get it. But I also just said, you have to watch practice. You have to watch the details of the game. How involved are you in doing video and wanting to get better? And I feel like Jack Quinn has done a lot more of late to find that. And he's playing with JJ Paterka and Ryan McLeod, who have all been really clicking together. But I look at Zach Benson and I'm thinking, I almost don't see a spot for him in the top nine. Mm-hmm. Right? And I look at Jordan Greenway and I don't see a spot for him in the top nine. I would love the Sabres to add a top six winger to go along Norris and Thompson maybe, and then maybe Kulik is playing with Zucker and Tuch, because you're like, hey, you know what? Let's put Jiří with two veterans, Zucker and Tuch, and let's surround him with that. And maybe it's more of in the third line, but still, Zucker and Tuch are not, you know, going to go and say, our job is not to score. Mm-hmm. Yuri's going to add to it. And I like McLeod, Paterka, Quinn together. But then it leaves Benson in a little bit of a limbo. It leaves Krebs in a little bit of a limbo. If you look and you say Malenstein, Kozak, and Greenway's your fourth line, like, it leaves really a lot of pieces that are kind of like the extra right now. And I think that's going to be the challenge this summer is, how do you move on and have a different look team? Mm-hmm. Because over the years we've seen it. It was, okay, Gergensen's and Oposo, and it was always the same kind of return, right? And they've made a change from that this summer. And Malenstein has looked really good.
And in season, based on the Cousins
season,
and Norris deal.
100%. But it's got to continue.
Right.
And I think that's what is going to happen. I really feel like that is going to continue. And those extra pieces up front, where you need them to help you is in what you can get in return on the back end. You almost feel like you need a top six winger to be with Norris and Thompson and some of that help on the back end. Because I really think you need to find a good partner with Owen Power. And Bernard Docker has been nice, but I don't feel like Bernard Docker's a top 4D. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see Dahlin and Byron back together. And I would like to see a really good partner for Power. And then you would have your strong top four. But that's still a big question mark when it comes to the summer.
So you feel if trades are to be made, they will be to address a different look on the blue line more than anywhere else? Or you still think, based on everything we just said, that they may try to add a top six winger?
I think a top six winger and a top four defenseman. That okay. is your... And now we're not talking about the goaltending just yet. That also is going to be a point of conversation moving forward. What does the goaltending look like? James Reimer has been really good, but I'm not going into next year thinking that James Reimer is a part of my goalie tandem. Look, maybe a guy like James Reimer could be a number three and say, hey, you know what? Everybody's rolling three goalies this year, these years. You know, everybody's got depth, a good number three. And I think that's why James Reimer was brought in this year, almost to be a good number three to Luukkonen and Levi. And then start the season in Prague, come back. It doesn't go the way you want. Okay, let's move Levi down to Rochester. Now we have Reimer and Luukkonen, and that's the way we're going to do it. Fine. But I'm looking at next year. I don't think Reimer is in your top two. And I don't think you're really going into the year thinking Luukkonen and Levi are going to be it either. So there's a change in the top six in the forward position. There's a change in the top four in defense. And there's a big question mark in goal. And that's the three biggest thing that I'm looking at evaluating right now. I don't need to evaluate McLeod for the rest of the year. I know what I got. I don't need to evaluate Zucker for the rest of the year. I know what I got. But I need to continue evaluating mostly around the league. Hey, who's the top six forward we can get? Who's the top four defenseman we can get? And what's the question mark and goal?
You look good.
That's not me.
I know that it's not you.
That was our telestrator, not hot, still
it's
acting up.
It's taunting
in
you.
Studio. It's taunting me. I was so upset yesterday. Every time we fix the telestrator, 2 minutes before I'm about to do my breakdown, it just, stopped working.
Video breakup is temporary. Please do not adjust
yourself. That was a big video breakdown.
What was the one thing as a child that used to interfere with your television the most?
Were
you blessed with cable right from the outset?
Not from the outset, but I do remember like the early days of VCRs when the tracking was the big thing. You had to adjust the tracking. If somebody gave you a tape and all of a sudden the tape is like, whoa, you have to adjust the tracking.
Oh my
that
goodness.
Was the, my biggest like probably obsession as a child with TV was the tracking and the VCR.
Sunday night dinners. I'm in the basement watching NFL football. Roast beef is being carved upstairs with an electric knife. And whenever that came on, the television would break up.
The vacuum cleaner, the hair dryer, and the carving knife, the electric carving knife was a killer. You'd get a snowstorm in your TV as soon as those things came on.
How many times has somebody blown a fuse because of a hair dryer?
Oh boy. Yeah, well, that was what just happened on MSG. For those wondering, on the WGR side, we had a little bit of a snow shower coming up here on our screen.
Yeah. So Paterka is at 59 points now. McLeod is at 47, and I mean these are significant. We've been talking a lot about Thompson 40, Tuck 30, McLeod 20 as far as goals. But if you were to sit there at the start of the year and say, oh, well, JJ is going to nicely add to his career season last year, and he's going to do so by having basically the same amount of goals, but way more helpers, which I think is a good development for this team. It's funny because their centermen as constructed right now, top two, if you will, between Norris and Kulik, like they're kind of goal-scoring centers more than they are pass happy centers. So you need some playmaking wingers, right? And so I think this is a nice development.
Especially if you had Norris Thompson and player X on the left wing.
Correct. Yes.
That needs to be a puck possession, playmaking type of winger.
Yep.
That's the evaluation. That's why like we're having these conversations 1 hour a day on weekdays. Mm-hmm. I think the hockey department is having these conversations 7 hours a day. 7 days a week, right? Like, who is a playmaking winger that would fit with Norris and Thompson?
Mm-hmm. Was there any? So your centermen next year are blank.
Well, my centermen next year would be Norris, McLeod, Kulik, and I like to say maybe it's just because he's a new toy and fresh out of the box, but the Tyson Kosak angle of it, I really like what he's done. I like that he seems to have found himself a very nice kind of role, right? And Peyton Krebs, that's not like Peyton Krebs is playing really good right now as a third line center between Zucker and Tuck. But I don't feel like he's labeled as a top nine. Mm-hmm. And if I want to give Kosak that spot, you know, Peyton Krebs started the season this year as the extra forward. I don't know that I'm getting to where I want with Krebs, and maybe I got to start again with Kosak.
Mm-hmm. Now, both of them are wing capable, right?
Yeah, but there's so many wingers on the roster right now. Like, I've got Jordan Greenway and Beck Malenstein as fourth line wingers. You know, I feel that's, you know, you have a lot of players. And again, you need depth. So are you going to keep an extra forward or two? Like, this year they started 13 forward, 8D. I don't know that that's the ideal construction. I'd much rather have 14 forwards and 7 defensemen moving forward. So do you keep a Kosak as maybe the extra at the start of the season? And do you keep a Roseanne as an extra at the start of the season? Because he's kind of getting to that point now, maybe, but I still think you need to add a top six forward, preferably a winger, playmaking winger, and you probably have 7 defensemen, and that doesn't count, like, if you think that Ryan Johnson is ready to come up and right. others as well.
Lots to get to as we continue the Monday edition of Sabres Live. We are looking ahead to tomorrow when the Sabres take on the Senators, and that will be the finale of the season series. And the big stories around the NHL, St. Louis continues to roll. Leon Draisaitl is a 4-time 50-goal scorer, just a phenomenal feat accomplished by him on Saturday night against the Calgary Flames. The Amerks had a great weekend, save for missing out on 1 point yesterday. And, of course, your input at Sabres Live on social. We'll get to all of it as we continue Sabres Live after this.